All right, let us now come before the Lord together and seek Him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our Almighty God in heaven, Thou lookest upon all things on this earth, O Lord, and day by day Thou hast been with us and Thou hast helped us. And even in this world, O Lord, that is filled with so much chaos, turmoil, so much afflictions, O Lord, and so many things that are happening beyond our control, O Lord, we cry unto Thee for Thy help. We know that Thou art still sovereign and in control of all these things. And we pray, O Lord, that day by day we will learn to turn towards Thee. And O Lord, how quickly a week has passed, and how we are able to gather before Thy presence to worship Thee. O Lord, our hearts are filled with thankfulness. How wonderful that we can have this day of rest, a day apart from all the other days of the week, to spend time unto Thee, O Lord, to seek Thee, to call upon Thee, to listen to Thy truth, and to be able to sing praises and cry unto Thee. O Lord, how wonderful it is that we can gather before Thee. In this time, O Lord, as we come unto Thee, bringing all our burdens before Thee, O Lord, we recognize how little and how weak and how small we are. We are just sinners, O Lord, saved by Thy grace and Thy mercies. And O Lord, we cry unto Thee that You will sanctify us and cleanse us. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we have forgotten about You, for the times that we have turned against Thee, for the times that we've been prideful or covetous in our hearts. And we pray, O Lord, that You be merciful to turn us back to Thee, O Lord, and help us to draw closer to Thee. We pray, O Lord, that in this time, may You continue to watch over our country. We are thankful for the government that we have, O Lord, and we just pray that You will continue to use, O Lord, this people that Thou hast placed into power. With all the authority, O Lord, we pray that You continue to grant to us freedom, O Lord, in this land to be able to worship Thee. Continue to pray, O Lord, that You be with the leaders in the government. Grant to them good wisdom, O Lord, to be able to be fair and just and honest before Thee. And we just pray that You use them, O Lord, to continue to provide for all of us in this country. We also thank Thee, O Lord, for how we can even worship Thee, even despite how we are far apart. But yet, O Lord, we are drawn close before Thee. And we pray too, especially, that You continue to work in our lives day by day, and help us, O Lord, to continue to grow in Thee, the reading of Thy word, in the reading in prayer day by day. We pray, O Lord, especially for our brethren also who are far away from us. We pray for our fellow brethren in China who are serving Thee. We pray also for those who are in Australia, for our sisters Sarah and Esther, that You also take care of them, even with the outbreak over there. We pray, O Lord, that You will continue to watch over our lives. And we pray that You be merciful, especially to those who are in national service, even as they serve the country. Grant to them Thy keeping and Thy care and Thy protection. And we pray that they will walk before Thee in a good way, as testimonies unto Thee, wherever You call them to. We pray too also, especially for our church in this time. O Lord, Thou knowest also of how we are looking for a premises to go to when we are able to gather. And O Lord, all these things are in Thy sovereign will. We pray that You grant to the committees good wisdom, that You also help them to be able to know where to look, how to evaluate. And we pray for Your good providence that one day we can gather back again together physically, that we can fellowship together, and how we can be able to have a witness, O Lord, to be found in this church. So Lord, continue to guide the committee as they seek Thy will, as they look through the places. We pray too also for the church camp committee, even as they have to make difficult decisions, O Lord, we just pray that You will guide them, even as we seek to gather together, to have a time in Thy presence, to learn of Thy word at the end of the year. And O Lord, our heart desires after all these things, but we know, O Lord, it is all kept within Thy will. May You deal mercifully with Thy hand to grant to us what is good according to Thy sight. And we pray that we'll be humble to submit before Thy will. We just pray too also for this time where some are not well. And O Lord, Thou knowest those who are suffering with chronic illnesses, and some are even suffering in a hospital in this time. We pray especially for our sister Xi Ting, who is warded in Changi General Hospital. We pray, O Lord, that You will help her, especially with her afflictions, even as her legs are weak. May You restore strength unto her, O Lord. Use the doctors and nurses there to be able to treat her. And we pray that You will draw her close to Thee in this time. Pray too also for others in the congregation. O Lord, we have many elderly amongst us too, and how they are also afflicted and weak at times. And we pray that Your presence will be with them in such times of pain and suffering. We pray also for those who are very much burdened by their work too. And Lord, some are so stressed out and pressured, and some have many burdens upon their lives and their hearts and their families. And we pray for them, O Lord, that you relieve them and grant to them peace that passeth all understanding. O Lord, for thou hast called them to that place of work, and O Lord, may you use them for thy purpose. Pray too also for the students too, that you continue to protect them as they go to the school, even as they interact with others. Help them to study well for thy sake, O Lord. And we just pray that you continue to mold them according to thy will in this time. And O Lord, help these young people to keep them from all temptation and all dangers. We pray too also for the young adults, even in the workforce. And we pray that you'll continue to help them to trust unto thee for thy providence, for thy leading, for all things in life. And we just pray, O Lord, that you'll help them even with the strength of the youth to be able to serve thee and to be able to seek thee first. And O Lord, may you add accordingly to whatsoever thou willest. So Father, we pray, O Lord, that you continue to watch over the church, over the young, over the old, over those who are new unto thee, O Lord. And even we pray for many who are still outside thy kingdom. And O Lord, how we pray week after week, day by day for them. And how, O Lord, their hearts are still sometimes hardened. But we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to work in thy will. We pray for thy mercies that you will save some unto thyself and turn back those who have backslidden away from thee. And Father, we just pray for thy mercies, O Lord, even in these last days, even as we wait and hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, continue to watch over this church, O Lord, for it is thy flock, it is thy body, and continue to show thy mercy and grace upon us. So help us now, O Lord, in this time, as we turn to thy word. Grant to us, O Lord, the leading of the Holy Spirit as our teacher and as our guide. And may you help every heart listening, O Lord, to be humble, to turn to thee. Open our spiritual eyes in this time, O Lord, to look unto thee, to see what thy truth is. And we pray, O Lord, that you will fill us and be with us and bless us. So guide us now as we turn to thy word. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let us now turn to our scriptures. Right, our text for today's sermon is on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 16. So please do follow along as I read the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 16. Reading. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. Right, our topic for today is, are your spiritual eyes open? Right, are your spiritual eyes open? Now this is an epistle, a letter of the Apostle Paul that he has written to the Corinthian church. Right, and this is a very long letter. And if you read through this letter, you find that the Corinthian church has quite a number of issues and problems happening, right? And Paul has to be very direct to the church, right? He doesn't beat around the bush, but he gets right to the issues concerning the church. And these issues are not small, right? Because right from the very first chapter of this letter, we can already see that the church was divided. There was party politics going on. Right, people were forming into factions and fighting. There was all this strivings going on within the body of Christ, within the church of God. And it's a very, very sad thing to look at, very frustrating for the Apostle Paul who was away from them. So therefore, in the letter, he had to be very direct to address all these issues. He had to scold the church as a whole also. Right? And well, as we go through this letter, you'll find that at the root of the issue, at the end of the day, this is still a church, Right? The Corinthian Christians will call themselves Christians. But the problem is the picture of the church, the lives that they lead, they do not reflect God's truth and God's wisdom. That was a very big problem. They will still be called Christians, but the way that they live, the way that they think, right, it was still very, very carnal. Right? And, you know, even in today's context, you think about it, this is as if you're having your office politics in the church. People are siding with this deacon, with this elder, and then people are turning one against another. People are playing this kind of games within the church, playing politics. And this was going on within the Corinthian church. Now imagine how sad it is for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to have this kind of a testimony. If you read further in the book of Corinthians, you also find that there was fornication going on, right? And people just seem to be okay with it, right? And if you think about it, isn't it very sad that these Christians who are supposed to know the gospel, who are supposed to know God's word, who are supposed to have the Holy Spirit within them, now how could they behave in this way? How could the church continue to accept all these things that are going on as if everything was fine? That was one huge problem that Paul had to address right from the beginning of this epistle. You know, we serve the Lord in the Bible College of East Africa, my wife and I. Right? And as we serve together in the Bible College, it's not just about teaching the Word of God over there. Right? We also have school rules. And sometimes the students who stay in the school. Now, these are students, mind you, who are supposed to be training to be in the ministry, who are supposed to be pastors, and some of them are already pastors in the church, right? So yet some of them, they will still encounter disciplinary problems. So sometimes it's our responsibility, right? We have to take care of them. We have to pull them aside. We have to spend time to counsel them, to speak to them, try to correct them, try to help them to learn and understand about some of the wrong things that they are doing, right? So we'll tell them that they've broken the school rules, and it's not just the school rules, but we will try very hard to show them from the scriptures why some of these things that they're doing is wrong, why they cannot continue like this. And mind you, these are supposed to be Christians. Some of them are pastors. And some of the disciplinary issues that we deal with, they are actually very clear-cut. There are things like lying, cheating in exams, stealing, right? And we have to actually tell them, stealing is wrong. Imagine that. Telling a pastor that stealing is wrong, yet some of them will continue in all these things. Now, and after some time, it gets very frustrating, right? Because as we talk with them, we will see how they respond. We tell them, okay, this is the issue and problem, right? This is what is happening. It is not right. And then we'll see how they respond. Now, over this few years, one thing that I've realized is that many of them like to say this. It is okay. I don't know why. It's very cultural, perhaps, but they will just say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And then they will just want to walk off. Right? And then sometimes it's very frustrating for us, for someone that has just cheated in an exam, for someone who has just told a lie, and then you just say, it's okay, and then you walk off like that, as if nothing has happened. Very frightening. Right? They would not want to admit that they broke the school rules, that they don't want to apologize. Now, this is not majority, just a few of these students who sadly behave in this way. Right, and you can even show them from the scriptures what they're doing is wrong. But they will find some way to argue back. Oh, no, 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 this is not what has happened. You misunderstood me. You know, this is not how the situation is. Some of them will say, oh, but you have no proof. You see that I did this, you know. Some of them will say, oh, why are you targeting me? Right? Some of the other students, they are doing this also. Oh, why do you pick me out as if I'm a criminal? Right, and so they'll go round and round and round. And at the end of the day, well, it's very sad. No matter how we show them from the scriptures, this is what the truth is, this is what the Bible says, they will still say, it is okay. And then they'll just go off, and then that's it. And what can we do, right? So very sad when some of the students who are training to be pastors in the ministry, they are like this. And one thing that we realize that perhaps it is because it is very normal for them in society to do this, right? They are brought up so-called as Christians. They attend Christian schools outside. And then perhaps it is very normal for them to cheat in the classroom. Very normal for them to have a piece of paper in their exams with the answers on it. Very normal to peep at somebody. You know, and then these are things that are very normal. It is very normal to lie one to another, very normal to, you know, just treat all these issues that, you know, these things are happening day by day. Right? And so it becomes their kind of a standard, and that's why they just say it is okay. And the frightening thing is, for them perhaps, it is right in my own sight, right? Like in the days of the judges. It is okay according to me. There is nothing wrong in this. Everybody is doing this. Other Christians are doing this. Now, when you look at the Corinthian church, this is very likely what was happening. Fornication? Ah, it's okay, you know, it's just one case, right? And it's not like everybody is doing it. Fighting amongst leaders, it is okay, right? I mean, outside in the world, leaders also fight. In the church, it is okay, no problem. And, you know, as Christians, this is not right. This cannot be the case. When something wrong is happening, we are supposed to have this spiritual sight. That when we look at the problem and the issue, we must know, is this right? Is this wrong? What is good? What is bad about it? Right? It is a spiritual problem. It's not just some small, small issue that can be brushed aside. And it becomes frightening when people call themselves Christian and then they cannot see it. And then this is a spiritual issue. Then are they even safe in the first place? Because if we have the Holy Scriptures, if we have the Holy Spirit inside us, how come we cannot see the problem? How come we cannot see that this is a sin, right? And if they're spiritually blinded, then are they even saved? Do they even have the Holy Spirit? Right? And that is one of the key issues that we will find in these few chapters. Right? And so this is something that Paul will address, especially in chapter 2. Right? So what we have read is the second half of the chapter. So if you very quickly glance at verse 1 to verse 9, right, Paul will remind the church that salvation that is given to them, it comes from the gospel of God. It comes by God's power, right? In verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Right? They are saved because God convicted them with the Holy Spirit. It is by God's power that their souls are saved, not because Paul persuaded them, not because Paul had any power, but faith and conviction comes from God. And then in verse 6 through verse 9, Paul addresses the wisdom of God, the truth of God, the mystery of God. How can they understand who God is? Well, it is God that has opened their eyes, as we have sang just now. I'm thankful for the chairman that has chosen a hymn. I open my eyes that I can see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. It is God that has opened their eyes to understand. Otherwise, the people of the world, they will not be able to understand all these things. So God has revealed himself through the scriptures to them. And then this is where we come to verse 10, right, to verse 12. And the first thing that we learn from these three verses is that spiritual sight is enabled by the Holy Spirit. Right now, how did God reveal his wisdom and truth to us? Is it we just pick up the Bible, we have an RPG, we have a book, and then we just read it? And then as we read it, you know, with our human mind and human heart, we read it and then we will gain a knowledge and truth about God. Is it that simple? No. This requires the Spirit of God to work in us. It requires God to illumine, to shine a light into our hearts. And God himself has to do it. Right? That's what we see in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God is the one that took action. He is the one that first did this. By our own human understanding, even if we are some super genius on this earth with IQ of 2, 3, 400, well, even if we read the Bible and God does not shine the light to reveal, we cannot understand. So God himself is the first one that will act to reveal, right, the word of God to us, to reveal this truth to us. And how does he do it? Well, there's God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there is God the Holy Spirit, right? And this is why we call the triune God, the Trinity. And so God the Holy Spirit works within us, right? God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit will convict us, and this is a one-time occurrence. That means at the point of salvation, when God sends the Holy Spirit into us, at that point, suddenly we understand what the gospel is. We understand that we are sinners, right? Condemned to hell. waiting for punishment. And then we need help. We need a savior. And then as we understand the gospel, as we read the scriptures, we know we need a savior. And who is this savior? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent to redeem us, sent to save us from our sins. Right? So he went to the cross, he died for us, shed his precious blood for us, took the punishment upon himself. Then after that, he died for us, he rose again for us to give to us the promise of eternal life. To some people who read this, it might just be a story. But how can we believe in this? It is God who has revealed all these things to us and convicted our heart that we can believe in this. Otherwise, without the Holy Spirit working, we'll just treat this as another story, right? How do we know all these things are real? Do you have the cross? Do you have the tomb of Jesus to show me? Otherwise, we wouldn't believe. But it is God himself who acted to make us believe. So faith comes from God to give to us this understanding, right? God himself have revealed this to us. And it says here also, right, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, the Holy Spirit's work does not just stop there at salvation. It's not as if, oh, now you are saved, you understand the gospel, okay, that's all. Holy Spirit can now retire and rest. No. Right, down here, this verse says, for the Spirit searcheth. The Spirit continues to help us to search, right, to search all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't it very wonderful that the Holy Spirit, God doesn't just leave us, as Jesus has said, right? He has left with us a comforter that will be with us always. And we have the Holy Spirit that will help us to search. Now, this searching here is an interesting word. It's not our searching as if we don't know what we are searching for, we don't know what we are looking for. This search is very specific, okay? Very, very targeted. And some commentators will say that this is a word used for customs officers. Well, we like to go to JB, right? And then whenever we cross the causeway, the customs, you look at these custom officers, right? They will inspect all the vehicles, the cars, your luggage and all these things. Now, they don't just search for fun, right? Just open the boot, look around as if it's just a job that they do. But they are looking for something. They are searching for something specific, right? For some contraband or whatever it is. So they are searching. It's targeted, very methodical. They have certain steps that they must follow to check your car, right? And it's very thorough. They are looking for a particular thing, right? So this is the idea of the word search down here. The Holy Spirit directs us. It's not as if we're still trying to find our way in a very big forest and then we don't know where we're going. That's not the idea. The Holy Spirit helps us to search, directs us to God's truth, directs us to Christ. And so as the Holy Spirit works within us, now, what's the effect of this? It helps us to know all things. It gives us no excuse. We can know all things. Now, take note. This doesn't mean that we become all-knowing like God, okay? We are not like that. We cannot know everything. No way. Okay, we are not God. God is all-knowing, omniscient. He knows everything. His wisdom, his knowledge is infinite, cannot be measured. But for us, you know, we are limited. However, God has said that with the Holy Spirit's help, we can search all things. That means all things that we need to know in this life, whatever we need to deal with, every situation, every problem, every issue, right? All things contained within the scriptures, within the 66 books, every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, we are able to understand with God's help. Why would God give to us a book that when we look at it, we read it, we cannot understand it, right? God will enable us to search all things and even the deep things of God. This is to humble us because the more we study the scriptures, it's not so much as of the more we know. You know, throughout Bible college, the more we study the scriptures, the more we begin to realize that there's so many things that we don't know. It becomes very frightening. The more we read through the Bible again and again and again, the more we realize that there's so many things that we have yet to fully understand. And that's why it really humbles us, the deep things of God. There's so much wisdom in there that we can learn of, that we can use in our life, that we can obey and follow. So much wisdom and truth that is good for us. So it really, really humbles us, right? We should never become bored of reading the Bible. we should never become bored of learning about God, because the more we study, the more we learn the deep things of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us fresh things that we learn every day, right? So I hope the Lord will grant to us this kind of a heart. I hope the Lord will renew this kind of a spirit within us, that we will not feel that, such a drag, you know. Just come for this Bible study, read the RPG. It's boring. All these preachers and pastors say the same thing. What, this topic again? I've listened to this so many times. I don't need to know this. That is not the right spirit. If the Holy Spirit works within us, we will love to search out all things, the deep things of God. That is how our heart should be. And that is how our spiritual sight should be. Continuing to always search through the scriptures, right? Like a workman, keep on reading and dividing the word of God to understand his word and his truth, right? And now as you come further down to verse 11, now it says here, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So Paul gives a question over here. Now, we understand the things of a man. What are these things? Well, nobody is born a Christian. Okay? Nobody is born a Christian. Even if you grow up in the Christian home, now we have a certain amount of experience and education that we'll go through in life. We all come from different backgrounds. So the things of this world, we will learn. The things of a man. We experience things in life, right? We will know what pain is. We'll know what joy is. We'll go through education, we understand what science is, we know how to do certain things, we learn how to eat, how to dress, how to talk. These are the things of a man. Okay, so these are things that more or less everybody will be able to gain. Right? The natural man, you and I, born as sinners, can learn all these things. But however, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Right? You and I are alive, and that's why we can continue to learn. If we are dead, we don't learn any more things. However, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. When God places the Holy Spirit within us, we are no longer dead in sins anymore. We are now spiritually awakened and alive. Our eyes have been opened, right? And we no longer just look at the things of man only, right? But we are able to understand who God is. We are able to understand the truth of God's word. Right, and this is where we gain our spiritual sight to know who God is. Right, men by ourselves, we cannot know who God is. Right? That's why sometimes, you know, when we go out for evangelism, we speak to people. And then so many people will often reply, oh, where is this Jesus of yours? Can you show me? Can you pray now and ask Jesus to appear before me? Now, can you bring the cross of Jesus and show me? Where is it? Right, you say Jesus died on the cross. Where is Jesus' tomb then? Show me where are all these things. Now, how can someone with all these thoughts believe in Christ? Well, it requires the Spirit of God to work within us, to know who God is. Otherwise, without the Spirit of God, we can only learn about the things of men. Now, even if an unbeliever picks up the Bible, right? Some of my friends, they're unbelievers. They have actually read through some parts of the Bible. So I asked them, so when you read through the Bible, what do you actually get out of it? So to them, the Bible is just a book of stories. Oh, nice stories, exciting. David and Goliath, they learn some bits of wisdom and, you know, here and there, some very nice proverbs. But then besides that, they don't really get any knowledge about God. They just say, this is your Christian God or whatever. It doesn't apply very much to them. There is no personal relationship that they have with God. To them, it is just a book. Same as any other book that you will go to the library and pick up. You have another book that talks about this God, that God. They will read it in the same way. Right? There is no spiritual awakening inside them. Right? So man is blind and deaf to the things of God. Right? Without God's help, we cannot know who God is. So as Christians, we ought to be spiritually awakened. We can spiritually, in a sense, see and know who God is, right? As our personal Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to know who God the Father is. We ought to understand more about the Holy Spirit, right? Especially in passages like this, the more we understand, the more we study. Right? And then in verse 12, as we go further down, it says here, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And this is a very, very wonderful verse. Well, it just says down here, we have received. That's it. You and I cannot earn the Holy Spirit. You know, you cannot go to some mountain and then meditate for 10 years in a cave. And then, oh, after meditating for 10 years in a mountain cave, oh, then the Holy Spirit came into my heart. It doesn't work that way. Right? God must give and send. Right? We just simply receive it and accept it. Right? This is God's mercy to us. And as we receive the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit teach us? Now, this is not the spirit of the world. Right? The Bible is not here to help us to make more money in the world. Right? The Bible is not here to help us to score A's as a student. That's not what the Bible is for. Right? And that's why you find this trend in certain churches today. They will measure Christian success by prosperity. So that's why it's quite often that you'll find some of these churches. Now, they like to bring in some of these people who are so-called Christians. They are in the industry outside there. They are very successful, they are entrepreneurs, they are doctors, or you know, they are very successful people in their field, professors, well-known celebrities. They will bring them into the church, and then they will use these people to give their testimonies, right? And then they will build up the service, they will build up the church around all these personalities. They want people to learn from all these people, right? And then they will be able to attract a huge following. Right? Thousands of people will log in to listen to all these talks given by the church. But when you read through the scriptures, when you understand about the gospel, is this what God has called us to do? Is this what God has given to us the Holy Spirit for, so that we can bring these people in to help people to learn more about how to make money, how to succeed better in school? That's not the point. Now, of course, God can help us, right, in our work. God can help us in our business. God can help us in our studies. Yes, He can grant to us wisdom, give us the strength to do all these things. Sure. But that's not the primary purpose. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God Himself. It will always draw us closer to God. Right? It will always take us further apart from this world. Right? It will give to us a renewed understanding of what life is all about. Before we come to know of Christ, what is life all about? Whatever our eyes can see. Whatever I want to buy, I need the money. So I need to work very hard, be very successful, so that I can buy what I want. What is life all about? Maybe friends, fame, the people that are out there, I want to know them all. I want them to chant my name. I want to be very famous, well-loved by all these people. And perhaps that is what my life is all about. These are our earthly goals in this world. But once we know of the Lord Jesus Christ, once we have the Holy Spirit within us, once we have the Holy Scriptures to guide us, all these things change and fade away, because now we understand spiritual things of God. Our eyes look beyond this earth. We know that our eternal life is there with God in heaven. And so we look at this same world with a proper perspective, according to God, according to God's word. All these things become new in a sense. We will still go back to the same office. We'll still go back to the same school. But now as a Christian, our purpose has changed. No longer are we targeting ourselves to go after all these things anymore. But now our purpose is different. We live for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We live as a light to shine so that others can see Christ and know Christ. We want others to know the gospel, to have the hope of Jesus Christ. And so we will still go to the same jobs. We still go to the same schools, mix amongst all these people. But our purpose has now changed forever because of the Spirit of God that is in us. Because this is the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And isn't this very wonderful? The idea of freely given is where we get the word grace from. All right, same idea down here. God has freely given all these things to us to be able to see and understand. Right, why will God restrict us from knowing us, from knowing His wisdom and truth? Hasn't He given to us the entire of the scriptures to study? You know, did God tell us, oh, you know, this is the Bible that you have, okay? But you know, some of these books, right, it's too hard for you, okay? Don't need to read it. Some of these chapters are too difficult. It's irrelevant, okay? Don't need to study anymore. You can just cut it out and take it off your Bible. right? Before the Reformation, people did not even have the Word of God. All these things that God has freely given to us to read and to understand, men were not able to have it. But now today we have it, right? And so, do we have this yearning and desire after all these things that God has freely given to us? And as God shows to us what His will is day by day, you think God will not help us? Of course He will. So as we know the will of God, we will pray, Lord, I want to do Your will. This is what You want me to do. Okay, but I need Your help. I need Your strength. I need Your wisdom. By myself, I cannot do it. Right? And so we cry to the Lord. And do you think the Lord will freely help us if we want to live for Him, serve Him, and glorify Him? Of course He will. By His grace, He will help us. Right? And so this is the spiritual sight that we have, that God has given to us, that we're able to know who God is, understand His word, live a life after Him, to glorify Him, and all this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Right? It doesn't matter about our background. Sometimes we talk to some people, right, in the church, and then they say that, oh, you know, I'm not very well educated, I cannot understand the Bible. No, that's not the point. Right? If God helps us, anyone can understand His word. Right? Of course, sometimes it's a little bit difficult. Not saying all the passages are easy, requires a lot of discipline sometimes to study and to read. But more or less, right, God has freely given to us and He will help us. Right? Will God withhold wisdom and knowledge that is good for us? He will not do so. He will be more than happy to grant to us His wisdom and truth so that we can lead lives that are holy and true after Him. Right? So, well, this is the spiritual sight that we've been given. That when we look at the scriptures, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can go through life understanding what God wants us to do, how to serve Him. And we are able to, most of all, know who God is. And therefore, as God is holy, the more we know about Him, we'll be more holy. As God is righteous, the things that we do will be righteous. Right? So this is how we lead a life, Christ-like, following after God. Right? And we need this spiritual sight to do so. God has given to us Christians this, right? And we have no excuse, right? It is freely given to us. Now in verse 13, right, this verse teaches us that this spiritual sight comes from the scriptures, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul again reminds them, they must not just pick up this letter from the Apostle Paul and think that, ah, this is just that, you know, Paul talking to us. He's just writing from himself. No. They must understand that this is the Word of God. Whenever we pick up the scriptures, right, it is the Word of God speaking to us. Right? So these are not words which man's wisdom teacheth, but these are words of the wisdom of God. Right, and this is the Holy Ghost teaching us directly. That's why every time when we pick up the scriptures, we have to pray. We really have to pray, Lord, this is Your word. What do You want me to know? We have to cry to the Holy Spirit for help. Humble ourselves. No matter how well we are trained in the Bible college, right, no matter how smart we think we might be, we always need to cry and ask the Lord for help, that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. If we don't have this kind of humility, we cannot learn. Right, so spiritual sight requires this kind of a humility that the Holy Ghost will be able to teach us. And then what do? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, how can we judge and discern things in our life? When we face a problem, when we face an issue, how are we going to deal with it? Well, if we want to lead a spiritual life after Christ, right, a life that honors God and glorifies Him, now God has given to us His word so that we can compare, right, spiritual things with the spiritual. You need a spiritual book to lead a spiritual life. You need a holy book to have a holy life. Right? You need a book of truth to do things that are right and true. So that's why comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. And there's this idea of judging together, side by side. Right? So in life, as we study the scriptures, we look at our lives side by side, and then we compare. This is what the Bible says. All right, I learned this morning. And then we look at ourselves, we look at our life, and then we compare side by side. Am I leading a life like this? If it is not, not good, not spiritual, not holy, not right. So we better change, better repent. And the Lord will help us to lead a life so that when we compare it with the spiritual book, with the Holy Scriptures. Our life will be holy because of the Holy Scriptures, because we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, who will help us to lead a holy life, spiritual book for a spiritual life, and gives to us a spiritual understanding of who God is, so that we know more about Him, right? And as we know of how God is holy, we become holy, right? As we know of how God is righteous, we become righteous. As we learn of God's wisdom, we become wiser people. Not wiser in the sense of the world, but wiser according to God's wisdom. Right? So this is how we ought to be. So that throughout life, we have better discernment, better judgment. Right? So this is how Christians we should be. You know, and sometimes when we buy electrical appliances, right? We buy electrical appliances. Now, most of the time, you have a manual. And then if you turn to some of these manuals, usually they have a troubleshooting page. Right, so they say now if your device light turns red, oh, then you check this page. The page will tell you what to do, how to remedy it. Why is the printer not printing? Right, maybe this is wrong with it. You have to reset this or whatever. So you take the manual and then you compare it, and then you rectify the problem. You troubleshoot it so that it is now in working function again. Right, so some of these manuals will teach us how to do so. And also, we think about better judgment. You know, as we get older, also. You know, our sight doesn't get better, right? Our physical sight will change, right? Sometimes long-sighted, short-sighted, or whatever. We have cataracts and all these kind of problems that will come in. So as we grow older, as we mature physically, our physical sight becomes worse. And then when it becomes worse, it becomes more dangerous, right? Because we can't judge very well. Sometimes when driving, you don't know which is the lane. At night, you can't see very well. It becomes dangerous because we cannot discern very well already whether we are on the right lane or not and whether we are going the right way. Right? So our discernment becomes worse as our physical sight goes worse. But however, our spiritual sight is very different from this. Our spiritual sight should not fade and become worse. In fact, it's the opposite. The more we mature as Christians, the more we study the scriptures, the more we cry to the Lord for help, He will open our spiritual eyes. And the better we can see things in life, the better we can judge and discern, this thing that I'm doing, is it really right? Is it really God's will? This thing that I just said, now, is it really right for me to say this as a Christian? Or have I sinned against the Lord? We become more discerning, more careful, more sensitive to the Spirit's guidance. Right? And as the Holy Spirit teaches us, things become clearer. You know, in the past, we might have struggled with some of these issues. Just don't know what to do, don't know how to respond, don't know what to say. But as the Lord helps us to mature and grow spiritually in Christ, in the Word, our discernment becomes better so that when we face all these issues in life, we will not feel lost, right? With God's truth and wisdom, we know how to deal with it. We know how to respond, right? So this is how the Lord helps us with better spiritual sight, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Right, so this is how we ought to grow as Christians in our spiritual sight, right? And through the Holy Scriptures, of course. And then as we come down to verse 14 to verse 16, right, we'll talk more about discernment over here. Now, Paul will bring up an illustration of a natural man in verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Right, the natural man is someone that is an unbeliever. Natural. That means in our natural state, without God, without the Holy Spirit, left in our sin, in our sinful state, no understanding of anything spiritual, right? So we are blind to spiritual things in our natural state. So the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, and it will even be foolishness. That's why so often, right, sometimes when we go out for evangelism, we are mocked. Sometimes people laugh at us. How come you're so silly? Right? Don't you have a degree? Aren't you educated? Why do you go and follow all these superstitious things? Right? I'm sure sometimes people could say this to us. Why are you so blind? Can't you see that all these religions, all these things are all, you know, a scam? They're just there for your money and all that. Why are you bluffed by them? Right? And so they'll laugh at us. They'll think that we are very foolish. Natural men, when they look at all those things, they'll think it's foolishness. Why do you want to lead your life after this book? So silly. Why follow after this book? Can the book talk to you? Right? And how old is your book? Thousands of years ago. And you want to follow it? foolishness. But for us as Christians, it is not. It is precious to us. It is truth. It's foolishness. It's a rejection of God. And so the natural man cannot see all those things. Right? So, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. And neither can he know them, because, again, they are spiritually discerned. Now, the word for discern down here, again, is the same idea of judgment. Right? And this is the same word that is used to describe the Berean Christians. Right? This is in Acts 17:11. Now, the Berean Christians, they are a group of Christians that are very highly praised in the Bible. Why? It is because they are very thorough. They search again and again through the scriptures. Whatever is preached to them, they will check with the scriptures. Right? So that's the idea that we have down here. Right? This idea of spiritually discern. We check, we judge very, very carefully. Is this what God wants us to do? Right? So this is the idea of spiritual discernment. We check and make sure. Right? And take note, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Do you realize that we are supposed to judge all things in life? We have to. Right? The more we know the scriptures, when we look at life itself, every situation, we must make judgment. Is it right for me as a Christian to do this or to do that? Right? So many times when we have all those youth meetings or youth camps or even church camps, right? Sometimes there are all those question and answer sessions or discussions. And sometimes we find that again and again and again, year after year, sometimes we keep discussing the same issues over and over again. And some of these discussions, they always go around same topics. Is it right for a Christian to do this and to do that? Right? And then we seem to have answered the question this year. It's shown from the scriptures why, what is the right way, why we should not do some of these things. And then next year again, same issue comes, same question comes. And then there's a whole debate and discussion all over again. Now, I don't think that's a very good thing. Right, because it just shows that sometimes we don't really learn. We're always just not judging things rightly. Spiritually, we are myopic, short-sighted. Right, but we have to be very clear. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Remember what we read in verse 10? For the Spirit searcheth all things. Correct? The deep things of God. So how can we say that I don't know how to judge this situation? Oh, is your conviction, my conviction, his conviction? Everybody has different convictions, you know. And then you cannot judge this matter, okay? There's no right, no wrong about it. That's not what the scriptures tell us. Scriptures tells us that we must be able to judge all things, all situations, right? And of course, we pray very hard that the Lord will give to us the wisdom to know how to do so. That's part of Christian maturity. Part in our growth as a Christian, right? So much so that over time in life, as the Lord helps us, we are able to be clearer, more decisive on the right things, right? And we don't have to keep on going round and round and round over all the same problems again and again and again, right? Because when Paul looks at the Corinthian church, remember, these issues, they don't deal with it very well. So much so that even later on, when he wrote 2 Corinthians to them, some of these issues are still ongoing. And then sometimes it's very discouraging to the Apostle Paul. Are they even saved? How come these Christians don't learn? They cannot judge these issues. Right? And they're still fighting and going on. Right? Is this the case for us? I hope not. I hope that the more we study God's word, we are able to judge all things, discern all these things in life. Right? And take note of this phrase, yet he himself is judge of no man. Now, we have to be very careful, okay? Sometimes, again, we often hear this, right? Oh, nobody has a right to judge me. That's not what this verse is talking about. What Paul is trying to say is this, is that the spiritual man, okay, the spiritual man, you and I as Christians, when we lead a life after God's word, when we do spiritual things, the world, right, unbelievers, they have, in a sense, no right to judge us. Why? Why is that so? Because they do not have the same spiritual standards. They don't have the same spiritual truth. That's why we follow God's standards. We follow God's commandments. This is truth to us. This is our standard. And that's why when the world look at us, they say, you're foolish. Why do you follow all these things? And therefore, they can't judge us because they cannot even follow the same standard. That's the idea that Paul is pointing out down here. Right? So we live according to God's standards, right? And we must remember, you know, as Christians, don't ever use this phrase, okay? Nobody can judge me. That is a very very terrible thing to say, because we have a judge who sits in heaven above looking upon us, judging our every thought, every motive, and then we should be very frightened because our heavenly divine judge above, he knows everything. We cannot play cheat. We cannot play a fool, right? He knows everything, and he knows how we discern things, whether it is right or wrong, and he knows how many mistakes we make, how often we don't even want to know the truth, right? So all those things we must be very mindful of. So this is what Paul is referring to, right? He's saying that we are judged by a higher divine standard. Verse 16, "For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And what's the answer to this question? Nobody. No one out there can know the mind of God unless God instructs. But you and I as believers, we have the mind of Christ. So spiritual sight is to be able to have the mind of Christ, right? That we will know this is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what my Savior wants me to do. And then we are able to think like the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. We will have His truth, His understanding, His wisdom. Not saying again that we are all-knowing, okay? We cannot be. But we begin to understand the mind of God, what God desires for us, how God wants us to look at this situation, how God wants us to make these decisions in life. So that in life, anything that we do, small problems, big problems, everything, all things, we can discern with the mind of Christ. And we can only have the mind of Christ if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master. Right? If we obey Him and follow Him, we have the mind of Christ. We read God's Word, we humble ourselves to follow God's Word, we will have the mind of Christ. But if we choose not to do so, then think very carefully, are we even saved if we do that? If we choose to spiritually blind ourselves, right? This is what some people do. They purposely don't want to deal with this issue, as if I don't talk about it, I don't discuss about it, I don't think about it, I have no problem. Exactly as I've mentioned earlier, that's what some of our students do in the Bible college, very sadly, right? You tell them, this is your issue, this is your problem, right? But then they say, no, it's okay. So to them in life, this sin, it's okay. And Paul was very worried that these Corinthian Christians, they would just look at all those things happening, fighting, it's okay. Fornication, it's okay. Everybody does it. Why can't we have a bit? What's wrong with it? It's their conviction. It cannot be like this. This will just show that they do not have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is very clear. Do you think Jesus is very, you know, wishy-washy? Jesus is very unknown, right? Where some things He doesn't want to reveal to us clearly, and then we are left in the dark to figure out things by ourselves? God is not like that. The mind of Christ is very, very clear. But of course, we must humble ourselves, take time to study, and know. And then of course, once we know, we better obey and follow. But if we don't follow and obey, not good, right? Not good if we want to rebel and reject, right? And God will chastise, right? And in some cases, are some people even Christians? Sometimes in a Bible college, we feel very discouraged because we look at some of the students, they write a testimony when they enter, right? They say that, oh, I'm born again, or I was saved, I'm in this church for so many years, and then they even have recommendation letters from pastors who say that they're very honest, very good, but then actually when you deal with them, they lie a lot, they cheat a lot, and you know, and sometimes you tell them, this is your issue, your problem, and then they can't seem to see it. And then sometimes, we cannot judge their salvation, right? I cannot see into the person's heart and soul. But sometimes you think, is this person even saved? Is the person's spiritual eyes even open to see what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is error? Does this person even know Christ? This person attends the chapel. This person sometimes even prays. But does the person really know God and His Word? How come the person cannot see the truth? Spiritually, is the person blind or not? Or just very rebellious? Right? And so the Lord will deal. So I hope that as we study, you know, through this passage, the Lord will really help us to reflect upon our lives. You know, and of course, our topic today is, are your spiritual eyes open? As Christians, I hope our spiritual eyes, of course, are open to be very aware, right, of what we should do and what we should not do. And then as we learn of the doctrines of God, how to apply them, it will make our spiritual eyes clearer. It should not make it blurrer. Okay? You cannot purposely try to blur ourselves and don't want to deal with this. We must make it clear that we can spiritually discern things. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Holy Scriptures with us. And then we are supposed to have the mind of Christ to know what our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ wants us to do. So are your spiritual eyes open? Are our spiritual eyes open? I hope we are. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you still do not understand the gospel, I hope that you will sound out, get someone to explain it to you, and hope that you will understand what the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. And the Lord will help you. Cry unto Him, and He will help you to understand and believe in Him. All right, so I hope that the Lord will help us to cling and hold to His truth, and I hope that the Lord will open our eyes and illumine us to shine His light into our lives, into our soul. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, O Lord, we cry unto Thee that You will open our eyes and help us to look unto Thee. O Lord, in this world that is so dark and so full of sin, sometimes, O Lord, we feel so overwhelmed, O Lord, by all the things that are going on. Sometimes in the pressures of work and studies and all the matters that are in our families, O Lord, we do not know what to do sometimes. We are at a loss for words even. But we pray, O Lord, that Your wisdom and truth will shine a light into our hearts to draw us close to Thee, to know what to say, how to respond, what are the right things that we ought to do. Open our spiritual eyes, O Lord, to see what is good in Thy sight, not what is good according to our own sight. Help us, O Lord, to have this heart of humility, to learn from the Holy Spirit, our teacher and our guide. And help us, O Lord, to walk after Thee. Be Thou with us, O Lord, and may You shine this light of Christ also into the hearts of others that have not come to know of Thee. May You show Thy mercy upon us and bless us and grant to us Thy grace. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.